Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.
The arrival of Chandler Parsons was good, but a lot of other stuff for the Grizzlies this weekend was not. You are Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Locked On Grizzlies for the Monday, following a very busy and ultimately mostly unsuccessful weekend for the Grizzlies. I am Peter Edmiston, at Peter Edmiston on Twitter. So today we are going to talk a lot about the Sunday afternoon loss to the Portland Trailblazers 100-94 and kind of take a look at some of the issues that have cropped up as a result of that. Not going to spend a whole lot of time on the Clippers game because, frankly, if you're a Grizzly fan, you probably don't want to hear too much about it. It wasn't really all that great. And I think the news coming out of the game on Sunday, particularly the return of Chandler Parsons, is probably of more interest overall, plus a few post-game issues that have cropped up as a result of that. So we're going to talk about all of that coming up. Excited about this week of shows, too, because we got some fun stuff coming your way. You'll hear it later on in the week. And I'm trying to take your mind, honestly, off of some of the election stuff, because, look, it's crazy. It's crazy right now. We are less than 2 days away. Whenever you happen to be listening to this, maybe we're less than a day away whenever you're listening to this. It's time. So I want to help to take your mind off of that just a little bit and get your mind on something less consequential. Now, probably depending on your alignments, maybe equally or more frustrating, but nonetheless, something different. The Grizzlies were a pretty frustrating group to watch for big chunks of the game on Sunday afternoon. There were lapses mentally. There were some weird possessions. It was very up and very down. The arrival of Chandler Parsons, though, was, you know, a hugely positive thing for the season, but it wasn't really a good thing in this ball game because it was just he was so rusty. I mean, my man, that's about as rough a debut as you could possibly have. When you don't score, you don't really look like scoring. You have a number of shots that, you know, seem could be pretty good looks, really, and they don't even come all that close. Turn the ball over a lot. You end up with an 0-for-8 performance in just over 21 minutes. You get 2 turnovers. And that's pretty much about it, really. And some of them were bad. There was one that was just a pass that was fired off to Mike Conley from about 5 feet away, and he threw it extremely hard. He finished with a game-worst minus 11 in those minutes, got crossed over and put on skates by C.J. McCollum. It was a bad night, really bad night for Chandler Parsons. But, you know, on the plus side, it can't get any worse, so that's good. For what it's worth, just so you know, Parsons was on a 5-minute-a-quarter minutes restriction, more or less. Now he ends up playing a little more than the 20 minutes that would be just because of the timing of all that. But roughly 5 minutes per quarter was Parsons' restriction tonight. And he said after the game that it would be something similar to that going forward for the next little bit. I also, speaking of minutes, asked David Fizdale about the other restriction guys, and Marc Gasol is still on what they are terming now the maintenance program, by the way. Just so you know, whenever you hear maintenance program coming out of David Fizdale or the Grizzlies, then chances are that means minutes restriction or something to that effect. Mark and Mike are still on that program, along with Chandler Parsons. And, you know, that's going to be the case for at least through the All-Star break. Certainly in the case of Mark, and I presume in the case of Chandler and Mike as well. So just know that going forward. Now, we'll talk about Mark's minutes a little later on because I'm still a little confused about those. But as far as the game goes, Chandler Parsons' debut was a big, huge bust. But really, most of the game, the Grizzlies, especially probably, I don't know, with about 8 minutes or so to go in the third quarter, the Grizzlies had built up a 10-point lead and were looking good. And then just the started to get sluggish, started to get too, I don't know, complacent, I guess is the right word. And the Blazers worked their way back into the game, C.J. McCollum got crazy hot. He finished with 37 points. And next thing you know, the Grizzlies have lost the game. It was a very winnable game for them, and they lose it. There are some finer points within the game to discuss. Number one, the lack of focus and the defensive lapses that seem to be a problem for this team. I'll let David Fizdale, who spoke on that after the game, kind of take over and discuss his thoughts on that matter.
We can't seem to find a level of consistent play throughout the game. That's really hurting us right now. We played great in stretches. We got up 10 there, and we put on our cool coats and, started throwing the ball all over the gym, taking random shots out of the offense, not getting back, defensive breakdowns all over the place. We're going under pick and rolls on two of the greatest shooters in the NBA. That tells you right there our brains were gone. But we're fighting for consistency right now. I see some great things out of this team, and I see some horrible lows out of this team. And we just got to keep working to where we get a high level of consistent play.
That lack of consistency was most apparent down the stretch as the Grizzlies stumbled to just 17 points in the fourth quarter and really struggled to put up anything in the last 6 minutes or so of the quarter, despite putting out lineups that were more offensive oriented. And it kind of gets me to the thing that you notice most, at least about this team so far. The chemistry is weird. The personnel is weird because right now you've got a lot of guys that haven't played that many minutes together. You're still working Chandler Parsons back in. You don't have a backup point guard to speak of. There are just too many players on this team that are one-way players that are really good on one side of the floor and not good enough on the other. And when you have that, you're going to always be lopsided in the way that you approach the game. And that's just the nature of it. I mean, when you've got Zach Randolph, who is all offense and no defense, when you've got Tony Allen, who is all defense and no offense, notwithstanding his 3-point shot that he made in that ball game, but he really just puts the clamps down on the Grizzlies' own offense more often than not. You have Andrew Harrison, who plays and is a pretty solid defensive player, especially for a rookie, at least on the ball, but is putrid offensively. You can go up and down the list, and there are lots of guys who are either stronger on one side or the other, or just almost all like 100% on one side or the other. And that makes planning extremely difficult for David Fizdale. And that will bring us to the discussion about Zach Randolph. And we'll do that after I tell you about SeatGeek, because SeatGeek is your choice for tickets. You need tickets. If you need tickets for tomorrow night's Grizzly game, for example, boom, SeatGeek. Get the app on your phone, download the app, and then all you do is just look and find great tickets at guaranteed great prices, the best, because they scour all the ticket sites so that you don't have to. They cross-match everything. They make sure that you're going to get the best possible seat. And because of their algorithms, they know whether it's a good deal, an okay deal, or a bad deal. It means you have full confidence when you buy, you know you're getting the best possible price for the best possible seat. What's better than that for an NBA fan or for a fan of anything? That's perfect. And here's a way you can save even that much more. You put in the promo code. There'll be a little on the menu. You will click on the app, put that menu button in, click on the promo code, and you type in L-O Grizzlies, L-O Grizzlies. You put that promo code in, you're going to save $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and you're going to be supporting the pod too, which I will very much appreciate. Please let me know when you do that so I can give you a personal thank you. It is awesome to see you supporting the pod and saving some money in the process. SeatGeek is the best. Just download the app, iPhone, Android, wherever. You got it. Download it, use it, save some money. So down the stretch, David Fizdale elects to go away from Zach Randolph again. Yeah, it's been the consistent thing throughout the year. And also, to a lesser extent, Tony Allen. He put Vince Carter in for a little offensive boost in place of Tony Allen down the stretch. But the bigger story and the one that everyone is noticing and talking about is Zach Randolph. Zach leaves the game at about the six-minute mark, not to return. And let me tell you something. He walked off the court. If you didn't see it, he sauntered off the court so slowly, milking the crowd's reaction. And the crowd started getting louder and louder and louder, giving him the ovation. He was all but begging David Fizdale to notice the crowd and notice the fan support and all of that and to keep him in the game. He doesn't like to go out. I don't blame him. He's a professional. He's a prideful guy. He wants to finish the game. Makes perfect sense, and I can understand why you want to do that. But David Fizdale doesn't want him to finish these games. And after the game, I asked specifically the question about the late-game situations and about taking Zach Randolph out of the game, and did he think about putting Zach back in?
Yeah, I absolutely thought about going to Z-Bo. Obviously, I got to do an offensive-defensive thing when it comes to that because they hunt for Z-Bo and pick and roll. Late in the game, with those kind of guards, I don't want to put Z-Bo in that position. Especially once we got down, try to defend those guards and pick and rolls late in the game. I have to find spots for him where I can get him in there in the right circumstances. I definitely thought about it, but we needed some stops, and we just weren't coming up with them.
They needed stops, and they got stops. In the last 5.5 minutes of the game, the Grizzlies held the Blazers to just 5 points. The problem, though, is that in that same 5.5-minute stretch, the Grizzlies scored 6. And it wasn't enough, and they lost the game. The only basket, by the way, they scored none of those 6 points in the normal flow of the offense. They got one basket only. That was Jermichael Green with a putback. Otherwise, they were 0-for-8 from the field in that time, 0-for-5 from behind the three-point line. Mike Conley and James Ennis each missing 3 baskets. Marc Gasol, Tony Allen missing 1 each. So they end up with just the 6 points in the last 5.5 minutes of the game. So it really didn't matter that they held the Blazers to 5. They weren't able to take advantage of that. And the Grizzlies end up losing the game by 6. So taking Zach Randolph out in crunch time is understandable. And I wanted to ask the question because I think we all knew the answer. And I wrote about it last week, in fact, in the commercial appeal. Zach's not in there for defensive reasons, particularly with the way that David Fizdale wants to play pick and roll coverages, notwithstanding the fact that a lot of his guys, didn't necessarily follow the rules on that during this ball game. Zach, as he said, teams hunt him on pick and rolls, but that's not really anything new. I talked a little bit with Zach after the game, and he kind of said, yeah, there's nothing that's really changed in that regard from last year, year before. Now, Zach defensively has never been the greatest, but if you're going to take Zach out for defense, then you're going to have to figure out a way to make up for his absence on offense. And the looks that they got were okay, but they weren't great. And the Blazers down the stretch, really didn't respect a lot of the guys out there as shooters. The guys that you would want to see being considered as shooters. And when they took Tony Allen out of the game and threw in Vince Carter to add a little extra shooting punch, they really still didn't respect Vince. They didn't really respect James Ennis as a shooter. They covered it pretty well, and it made the Grizzlies take bad shots and ultimately end up losing the game. I say all that to say it's a dangerous game, a little bit, in my mind at least, that David Fizdale is playing. Because Zach is growing more frustrated. You know, I don't think I don't want to overstate it. He's not like he's going to, you know, go nuts or anything like that. But he is getting more and more frustrated at not being out there at crunch time and not, you know, Fizdale not figuring out a way to use offense, defense, or some way to get Zach out there. And I would say that, you know, while you can look and there are certainly huge deficiencies defensively that Zach brings to the table, you can find a way when you're not scoring at all, you got to find a way to make up for those and to give him an opportunity out there. In my mind, at least, in the short term. Long term, they clearly have to move away from all this stuff. I think we all understand that. But for now, at least, and maybe throughout this season even, there's just not an alternative out there with the way things are going for this team, unless, you know, you see some improvement on the offensive side pretty quickly. You know, Zach Randolph is the most reliable option they've got, and that he is not even being tried in some of these scenarios, I don't think it sits well with him, and I don't think it makes a lot of sense. You know, when you have a game like this that is winnable and you don't win it, and you leave the guy that was one of your better players and probably your best offensive player, he doesn't even really get 20 minutes of action. Yeah, that's I don't know. It's a tough one. I sympathize to some extent with David Fizdale because it is very difficult to have him out there with that pick and roll situation, knowing that he's going to be exploited, knowing that there's guards. You know, McCollum was going crazy. Lillard, who didn't have a great game, but is still capable at any point of hitting some ridiculous shot. You know, it is scary to have him out there, but it is scary to see some of those offensive possessions down the stretch without Zach. That was scary. And, you know, if you're going to go away from Zach and Tony Allen, for that matter, those are two big personalities in the locker room. If you're going to do that and then you don't win and you don't score, the reason that you do it was offense and you don't score, then that isn't going to go over too well. That isn't going to go over too well. So you're still in the honeymoon period. It's still early on. There's still lots of things that can happen, but just keep an eye out, because that stretch was not great. And you know, I do think there is some frustration that's starting to simmer in Zach Randolph, unless some of that can be alleviated with some way to use him more in crunch time situations. As I mentioned earlier, Chandler Parsons was the big story coming back, making his return to the NBA and his debut for the Grizzlies in 21 minutes. Not a great performance at all, and that's probably a vast understatement. Missed every shot he took, turned the ball over, did not look like he was in sync. And afterwards, Parsons was trying to find some of the positives from what was a pretty rough beginning.
Honestly, it was just fun to be out there. Obviously, I'm... you know, don't plan on shooting that poorly very often, but just to be back out there and, you know, doing what I love is special for me. And, you know, I just got to get back in the gym and correct some things, get in better shape, because, you know, everything kind of felt fast. And once we were going up and down a bit, you know, my shot got a little flat and I got decent looks, but, you know, you can't really simulate game speed, and, you know, unless you're playing. So it was good to get back out there.
It will be interesting to see how the knee reacts. He said everything was fine. He felt good after the game. But, of course, as Marc Gasol has taught us, you really don't find out anything until the morning. That's when Dr. Gasol comes in. So maybe Dr. Parsons is similar. I also asked him about, you know, kind of when he thought he would start to feel at his best or close to being comfortable. I also asked him, and you'll hear me ask the question, about the shots that he got. Did he like the looks? You'll hear me ask that question. But it begins with me asking about when he thinks he'll be comfortable and like 100%.
Coming off last surgery, it took, you know, a solid month or two before I was back 100%. But, I feel like I'm in decent shape. And, yeah, you know, like I said, just got to clean some things up and look forward to Tuesday.
Did you like the looks that you got?
Yeah, I mean, I forced a couple there. The first one, I tried to draw a foul and just get to the free throw line, which honestly, I thought he fouled me. But just try to get an easy one, get to the bucket, and right, you know, really couldn't. So I was settling for a lot of jumpers, and that's a tough way to get going. But those are shots I usually make.
And if he makes, you know, two or three, then the Grizzlies win the game, and he probably will. So, you know, you could take those positives from it. But it was a rough start for sure. And on Tuesday, and as the season progresses, you'll see the effects. He certainly can play make. We saw some of that all in the first game. Just him being able to create, you know, be the ball handler in pick and roll situations, pass the ball, keep it moving. That will help in the offense that David Fizdale's trying to run. But it was still a rough go with he and Tony Allen at the wing spots, the so-called Allen Parsons project. And then with Jermichael and Mark and Mike, it's going to take a few games for that five-man rotation to gel, that five-man group to have some chemistry, because they just haven't done much. They've practiced together a little bit, but they haven't really played at all together. So here you go. You have to learn on the fly. A few things before we wrap up this edition of the pod. First of all, an update on the maintenance prevention or the maintenance program that the Grizzlies have guys on, in particular Marc Gasol. Gasol, before yesterday afternoon's game, had played in the first six games of the season. If you take those six games into account, and you include even the fact that one of those was a total rest game, so he didn't even play in that game, but you take those six games combined, he played more minutes this year than he did in these six games to start last year, and he played in all six of those games. That doesn't make any sense to me when it comes to your minutes and the maintenance program and all that stuff. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And I asked David Fizdale before the game about that, and he said Mark is still in the program. He will be for a while, and, you know, that's just how it goes. Well, if that's the case, then they're going to have to make up those minutes. He had mentioned that if he plays guys too much, then he has to make up the minutes in some other time, but they're going to have to keep making these minutes up somewhere. Mark played 27 minutes in Sunday's game. That put him back behind the pace of last year, but not very far. So keep an eye on that. I don't know what the end result is going to be, when all that changes, or if there will be any actual material, something you could even notice about that. I don't know. But I do think it's very strange that that is how they are handling the minutes thus far, if he's on some kind of a limit or restriction or something to that effect. I don't really get that. One other thing, the Grizzlies, just to give you an idea of where they're at offensively right now, they are under 40% for the season shooting the basketball. They are right at 39.9% shooting. Now, to put that in perspective, at no point in their time in Memphis have they ever shot worse than 43.6%. And that was the very first season that they were in Memphis, and you know, that was a really, really bad year. Pau Gasol's rookie year, all that. They are shooting 33.9% from three, which is roughly on par with their average over the last 4 or 5 years, which has not been particularly good. Those numbers are not great, so you would assume that they are going to get better. They can't really help but get better. They are well behind what you would expect. They also have fewer assists per game than at any point since 2010. They are turning the ball over more than they have since their inaugural season in Memphis. And, you know, they're just not scoring a lot of points. It's been a struggle. It's their worst offensive rating in, I think, since the inaugural season as well. So there's a lot that has to be worked on, and so much of it is offensive that, you know, it's a matter of time, and you would assume that they'll get all this worked out. You saw Mike Conley with a 30-10 game against the Clippers. I mean, it's there. You know, Marc Gasol is scoring. He's just scoring in different sorts of ways, and the consistency is not there with anybody. So you can see where this team, they've gotten off, and honestly, like, you know, the record is 3-4, but they just haven't played a lot of tough opposition. You look at the teams that they've gotten their wins against, and those teams do not have very many wins against anybody else across the league. It has not been a difficult start to the season. They will play an interesting Nuggets team tomorrow night. Yeah, I don't know that I would say that they're a good team yet, but they could be, and they've got a tremendous amount of young talent and some very intriguing guys that have given the Grizzlies problems in the past. You know, Danilo Gallinari has done that, certainly. Will Barton could do that as well. Jokic and Nurkic, both for different reasons, have been interesting opponents for the Grizzlies. So that is an interesting game on election night, and that will certainly be a needed distraction for our beleaguered nation. We'll find out what the Grizzlies can do and how they respond. But there are some challenges. There's no question this has been a start that is not necessarily ideal for the Grizzlies. Last thing, the point guard situation, the backup point guard situation. No Wade Baldwin in the game on Sunday. Andrew Harrison played those minutes at backup point, but he did so without distinction on the offensive end and did some decent things on defense, but his defense is not that good. It's not good enough to sustain putrid offense. But Wade Baldwin, you know, he kind of reminds me, actually, Harrison reminds me a bit of Nick Calathes in that he's not great, but he's not great in ways that are predictable. So you can at least kind of work around those limitations because you know what they are and they don't really change. Wade Baldwin is not great and has been unpredictably not great. So his turnovers are kind of all over the place. Some of his ball handling is wild, the decision-making, all that stuff. He's less predictably bad, if that makes any sense, than Andrew Harrison, which is one of the reasons why I think those minutes are starting to slide away from him. Now, long-term, he's still the guy, and he's still got far more future and all that than Andrew Harrison. But in the short term, as David Fizdale's trying to get wins and facing that inevitable kind of friction that is happening between winning games and developing young talent, if that's the case and you have two point guards that are behind Mike Conley, neither of whom is really very good, you want the guy who's not very good in a predictable way so you can at least work around it. And that's kind of what Andrew Harrison gave you, or not, in the game on Sunday. Thank you once again for joining me here on Locked On Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you want to shoot me an email about the show, or if you want to find out more about advertising on this podcast, please feel free to email me whatever you want, peter@peteredmiston.com. That's peter@peteredmiston.com. Follow me on Twitter, @peteredmiston. Check me out every morning, 7 to 10. Wolo and Peter in the morning, Real Sports Talk, Sports 56, 87.7 FM. Read me in the commercial appeal in the numbers game each and every week. Thanks go out to Audionautix as well for help with the music. And, of course, please subscribe and review. I would love it and really appreciate it if you would do that. Until next time, thank you so much. You have been Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily podcast on the Memphis Grizzlies, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team,